I'd like to read, first of all, in the first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 5. It's on page 1430 in the Bible I'm reading from. First epistle to Thessalonians, chapter 5 and verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that ye should be written to, for ye know perfectly well yourselves that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief by night. When they may say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travel upon her that is with child, and they shall in no wise escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. For all ye are sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then, do not let us sleep as the rest do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep by night. They that drink, drink by night. But we being of the day, let us be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of hope of salvation, because God has not set us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has died for us, that whether we may be watching or sleep, we may live together with him. And then in the epistle to the Hebrews in chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 9 and middle of verse 26, but now, once, in the consummation of the ages, he, that is the Lord Jesus, has been manifested for the putting away of sin by his sacrifice. And for as much as it is the portion of men once to die, and after this judgment, thus the Christ also, having been once offered to bear the sins of many, shall appear to those who look for him the second time without sin for salvation. The Epistle to the Romans in chapter 8, on page 1358. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. He who, yea, has not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him grant us all things? And then two short references in Peter's epistles. The first one is in 1 Peter chapter 3, on page 1472, and it's verse 18. For Christ indeed once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And finally, in the second epistle of Peter, chapter 3, and verse 9, the Lord does not delay his promise, as some account of delay, but is long-suffering toward you, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you travel round the M25 in an anti-clockwise direction, between the M40 and the M4, there's a building on the left-hand side of the motorway which has a illuminated advertising board on it, which varies, but the other night when we came by, the message was, where will you spend eternity? The letters were large enough for anybody passing not to miss it. And that's the question tonight, friend. Where will you spend eternity? Where we read in Thessalonians, Paul in writing tells us a little, but what I particularly wanted to draw attention to is the fact that he's addressing persons who knew the Lord Jesus as their Saviour. They'd come to know him. It tells us at the beginning of that lovely epistle that they had turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God and to wait his Son from the heavens, whom he raised from among the dead, Jesus, our deliverer from the coming wrath. The question, where will you spend eternity? There's two destinations, friend. It's heaven or hell. I don't have any problem in mentioning hell. In fact, I can say quite simply, I had somebody on the phone this only yesterday requesting some tracts. And he wanted one tract, Jesus for a Bright Tomorrow. And his comment to me was, he's had thousands of tracts and he distributes them in Oxford Street and all around the West End of London. And preaches there in Oxford Circus regularly. But he said that tract tells persons about hell. They need to know that there is such a place. And I don't want to burden you with the thought of it exactly, but it's necessary in the glad tidings to make it quite clear that if you say you trust the Saviour and you know him as your precious Saviour, you're destined for heaven. Friend, if you're not, you're destined for hell. It's as sober as that. And so we read there the apostle speaks of various things. He says that you have no need that I should write to you, for you know perfectly well in yourselves that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. He's coming. That day is coming. We don't know when. Scripture doesn't tell us. The only thing we're told is that it's in the hands of the Father. But it's coming. And it's not far off. And the day, my friend, is urgent. That you have a decision for Christ tonight. If you've never had one before, he's available. How wonderfully available he is. Where we read in Hebrews, it speaks very solemnly that it is the portion of men once to die. Death has come in because of sin. Sin came in due to disobedience. Sin has come upon the whole of the human race. But we can tell you tonight, my friend, of the one who was here without sin. The Lord Jesus Christ. Perfect, sinless man. God come down as a man. What wondrous grace that God should come down to meet your need and mine. And send his beloved son. We'll read of that in a moment. God spared not his own son, but freely delivered him up for us all. How wonderful that we have to deal with a God who is so gracious towards us. There's a lot of thought in the world around us today that God is a hard person, one who's demanding, but not, my friend, I can tell you, is the God that sent his beloved son, the one in whom I have put my faith and trust. So that Hebrews tells us, doesn't it? It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Thus also the Christ, having been offered to bear the sins of many. Has he borne your sins, my friend? Are you sure? Are you absolutely certain? I don't want to put a doubt in your mind at all. That's the last thing I want to do. But I'd like you to think and have the absolute certainty that you know in yourself that he has died for your sins. If you were the only sinner in the whole world, Jesus would have died for you. It's that personal. How wonderful that we have a Saviour who has been into death, shed his precious blood, and lives on high forever. He's available to you tonight, my friend. Just as available as when he was here 2,000 years ago. Christ, having been once offered to bear the sins of many. How wonderful. Shall appear to those who look for him a second time. We can speak about that perhaps a little later. But Jesus is coming again. Yes, he is. And he will come not in relation to the question of sin. That's settled. Settled once and for all. Once in the consummation of the age. You think of it. That wonderful sacrifice at Calvary. That my Saviour went and offered himself spotless to God. Why did he go there? He went there for you. He went there for me. He went there that you might have peace and joy in believing, that you might have a sense in your soul, if never before, that your sins have been washed away in his precious blood. In Romans chapter 8, we find there, he who, yea, not spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. You think of the great cost it was to God. I speak reverently, friend. Great cost to God to deliver up his only son. We get a wonderful type of it in the Old Testament. Abraham was asked to offer up Isaac. You read it in Genesis 22, I think it is. But here we have the one who was offered up completely. God offered up his own son. He, what's it say? He who has not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Just contemplate that for a moment. God, the God who dwells in light unapproachable, and yet has been made known to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. He was prepared because of what was needed, because of sin coming into the world. And his care for you, my friend, spared not his own son, but freely delivered him up for us all. Just think about it for a moment. Has it an effect upon you that the God who dwells there in heaven has thought about you to such an extent that he sent his beloved son 2,000 years ago to settle the question of sin so that your sins could be forgiven? Sin is, I think I can say quite rightly, sin is judged. It's not forgiven. Sins are forgiven. Sin has been judged, and by Saviour, the Lord Jesus, bore the judgment of God in relation to sin. The scripture speaks quite clearly of 3 hours of darkness, from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. There was darkness over the whole land, the scripture tells us. It's in that period of time that Jesus bore the wrath of God in relation to sin. One hymn writer put it, none could follow there, blessed Saviour, when thou didst for sins atone. Jesus was the only one, friend, that could meet the need of a holy and righteous God, because he was without sin, perfect in every way. This is my beloved Son, in whom is my delight. That was the one who was here. That was the one who was my Saviour. The one who's now in glory. He'd been into death. But he was raised the third day and ascended on high. And he lives there, dear friend, just as available to you tonight if you will turn to him in repentance. Of course, that's how you come into blessing. That's the way into blessing, is through repentance. Acknowledgement that you're wrong and that God is right. It's simple as that, really. Very hard sometimes to repent, you know. We're very, very stubborn. I speak for myself. Very, very often times you don't want to, do you? You think you're right. But God, in his wondrous grace, has moved to meet your need in the Lord Jesus Christ. That precious shed blood, dear friend, at Calvary, can wash away my sin, can wash away yours in its entirety. Sins past, present, and future. Yes, it's all-embracing. Nothing is left out at all. God's calculations are absolutely perfect. His way is perfect. And he's got everything set up, dear friend, for your blessing. So where will you spend eternity? Think about it. Peter, in writing, he says, for Christ indeed once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Yes. You and I, unjust. There's a little note there that tells you that unjust is plural. Just is singular. There was only one person who was just. That's Jesus, Christ. Indeed, once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. How wonderful. The creature, you and I, as having been as sinners away from God, can be brought in relationship with God himself because of the work of Christ. It's wonderful to consider about, to think about it. That he suffered once. Yes, once only. Where we read in Hebrews 9, I don't want to go back exactly to that, but that was in contrast. It's only once. You see, the Jewish system that went on before the Lord Jesus came. The high priest went into the Holy of Holies once a year to offer blood and sprinkle blood for the sins of the people and for himself. Jesus didn't have to go into death because he was sinless. He went that way for you and for me. The high priest before had to go in with blood, not only for the people, but for himself. But Jesus, no. He was perfect in every way. I commend him to you. What a saviour he is. He suffered for sins. That he might, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Yes. Yes, God wants you in his presence. But he doesn't want you there as a sinner. He wants you there as a sinner saved by grace. One who put the trust in the saviour of his providing. Yes, God has provided the Saviour. How wonderful is God's provision for you, my friend. And then we get in 2 Peter 3. There. I read that. The Lord does not delay his promise, as some account delay, but is long-suffering towards you, not willing that any should perish. Yes, Jesus is coming again. That I'm assured of. Scripture is perfectly clear. He's coming again. He says in John chapter 14, I go to prepare you a place, and I am coming again to receive you to myself. If you read the last part of chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, the Lord Jesus says he's coming himself for those who have put their faith and trust in him. Wonderful promise that the Lord has made. And Peter reiterates it here. He says, the Lord does not delay his promise. He wrote that nearly 2,000 years ago. It's just as relevant today. In fact, it's far more relevant today because the Lord's return is not far off. Where we read in 1 Thessalonians 5, it speaks of times and seasons. We don't have to look very far around to realise that the world is rapidly heading up in various ways. I'm not going to mention them all, not at all. But if you're aware of what the state of the world is, and even someone saying that there's no longer Christian England, how true it is. They've given up God. Accepted something else instead. Maybe environmentalism. Well, whatever it may be. God hasn't given you up, my friend. And he's coming again. We have that assurance. He does not delay his promise, but his long-suffering towards you. Yes, the long-suffering of God is in the days of Noah, as Peter speaks of elsewhere. What a day that was when Noah built an ark, spent 120 years building an ark in the middle of, well, land, not anywhere near the sea. But he did it in faith. God's long-suffering is just the same tonight, friend, towards you. Not willing the death of a sinner. Yes, I'm a sinner, saved by grace. I trust you are, friend. If not, you need the Saviour tonight. But we have a waiting time. Waiting for the Lord's return. I don't know how long it will be. It might be tonight. It might be next week. I don't know. I can't offer you any chance at all. Today is the day of salvation. Yes, don't ignore it, friend. Don't put it aside. While we're waiting, God has provided His Holy Spirit to those that believe. What a wonderful provision that is for us. What grace indeed. The Lord Jesus spoke of another comforter. He was going on high to return to His Father, and He was going to send another comforter, the Holy Spirit, to indwell the believer there to help in every way. Another helper. How else we can be occupied is in watching. Scripture often speaks to the necessity to watch and pray. And that's something which we all can do if we have an anticipation of that day of eternity. And two, the Lord has given us a wonderful time, the Lord's Supper, to remember Him in the time, waiting time until He comes. Scripture tells us, doesn't it? As often as ye do this, ye announce the Lord's death until He come. How wonderful to have the privilege of these things. But it's all because of the work of Christ. That work at Calvary, my friend, which stands for time and for eternity. In which there's so many thousands have put their faith and trust. I trust that you are amongst them. I reiterate those words. Where will you spend eternity? They were bold letters, well over a foot high. Well, 300 millimetres if you want. And they were visible to every person that drove down the M25 that night. You couldn't have missed it. It was the only thing you could see in the darkness. It was a dark, it was late at night, it was dark. And I wonder how many persons responded to it. Are you going to respond to it tonight, my friend? No, the certainty of what it is to have your faith and trust in the Saviour and have an assurance that you're going to spend eternity with Him. Eternity with Jesus? Nothing better. Eternity without Jesus, it doesn't bear contemplation. I trust I could just leave that thought with you, that you will know for a certainty that you will spend eternity with Jesus. Having put your faith and trust in His finished work, may you do so for His name's sake. Amen.